All doing good tonight? All right. Awesome. Love to hear it. Well, we're going to dig into the Word of God tonight. Sure, that's why you're here, right? I mean, that's what worship is. Lord, speak to us. Let us understand your Word so we can apply it and our lives will be changed and better for it. Amen? Amen. So, which part is this tonight? Seven. So, we've been having Saturday night services how long? 7 weeks, right? All right. Tonight, we're going to be digging into... It may well be the most, I don't know. I mean, I feel every sermon I preach is the most important, but this one might be the most important to understand about God. Remember, we started out, we're talking about that Moses, when he first became acquainted with God, he said, God, teach me your ways so that I might know you, right? And so we're trying to understand God's ways. And to understand God's ways, right, we have to know his word, but if we understand his ways, then we will know him. And when we talk about tonight's message, God's way with words, God's way with words, you're going to hear me talking a lot tonight about the fact that God is a word God. It's what separates us from the animals. It's what makes us like God, the capacity and ability to use words. So let's begin together reading John chapter 1, and together and aloud. You ready? Together and aloud? All right. I'm going to read nice and slow so you can all stay with me. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And the Word became flesh. And Jesus said, I am the way. Tonight we're talking about God's way with words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Am I right? And that Word became flesh. Right? And what's the name of that person who became flesh, who was the embodiment of God's Word? Jesus. And he said, I am the way. The Word is the way. God's Word is the way. And his way with words is the most important thing we can understand about God. And it's the most important thing that you can understand about God that will affect the quality of your life and your understanding of God and how you go about your life. Because I'm going to be making the point tonight that God creates everything, has created everything with his words. He made us like himself, and we create our life with our words. And if we understand that, and we understand how to go about that the way God did, we will be able to actually experience what Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. So God's way with words is also the way of the righteous's way with words, right? We've been talking a lot about the word righteous. Simply means that being righteous means that we're doing things God's way, because God's way is the right way. Let's read together Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. This is one of those verses that is so foundational, because what the writer of the Hebrews is saying is that, and we read about this in the Proverbs, we also read about it in Colossians, where Jesus, the Word, who was in the beginning, spoke. All things that we see, all physical things that are, were created by this being that we now call Jesus, the Word. And Colossians 1 says he not only spoke all things into existence, but all things are still maintained by the Word of his power. And so everything that's visible was created by something that is invisible, and that thing that is invisible, that creates the visible, are things that we call words. Words. Everybody say the word words. See, this is something I'm going to be making the point later on. You take for granted words. Like the change in your pockets. Like the pennies you throw away. You take them for granted. You think they're not important. They are the essence of your life. And how you use them has built your life and will continue to build your life. Words give you the power to create. We're going to be reading a couple of verses in a minute here. But words give you the power to create exactly the way that the Bible tells us that God created all things by his words. He spoke them into existence. Being able to use words separates you from the animals. That might seem like really superficial and simple, but when you hear about, you know, people being killed by mountain lions, and they're more mad about the mountain lion being killed than the person being killed, right? It's because in our culture, they don't understand that human beings are made in the likeness of God. They think we're just animals. Animals are not talking. Believe me, the whales are not talking. You can laugh at that, but there are people who think the whales talk. In fact, I never let my kids watch Bambi, okay? I'm a terrible father. I would not let my kids watch Bambi because I told them, deer do not talk. They might grunt, but they don't talk, right? But we live in a culture where animals have been humanized to such a degree that now our children have grown up watching movies where all the animals talk, and they think that animals are humans and humans are animals. They are not. Animals do not use words. They cannot create a better future for themselves, but you can using your words because you're created in the image of God. And that ability makes you uniquely, as opposed to every other created thing, like God. You can create your future. In fact, I'm going to make this point. The life you have right now, you have created with your words. Oh me, oh my, amen. But you have created the life you have right now by how you've used your words. Two people agree. All right, here we go. This is going to be a head-scratcher, I'm telling you, but this is probably the deepest message you will ever hear and the one that can most profoundly change your life. Let's read together from Genesis chapter 2. Because the point, what we've missed is that the whole Garden of Eden scenario where the tree of knowledge is there and the devil comes out and says, boy, that fruit looks juicy, and the lady says, yeah, it does look pretty good, and all that, and we think, oh, they fell. Well, you know, and Satan said, well, what? You're not going to die if you eat it. What we've been saying over and over again is that the scriptures say that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Man's way is death. God's way is life. Okay? And we've been reading all these scriptures that life and death are in the power of the tongue. What happened in the fall, what they did and what transpired there is, they, before the fall, when they used their words, they created a positive, powerful, good future for themselves. But what they got in the fall was the capacity to hurt, destroy, and kill relationships, themselves, other people, other things, their futures. They got the ability to destroy with their words. And that's the worst thing, and that is the human nature, and that's what people do with their words. They kill their marriages, they kill their jobs, they kill their careers, they kill our opportunities, they kill them with their words. Let's read together. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule. Okay? So when I say it makes us uniquely like God, that's what I'm saying. Scriptures start out saying, human beings, you, unlike all the rest of the world, are uniquely like God because you can use words like God can use words, and those words allow you to rule in this life. How you use your words will allow you to either rule or be a slave. To your circumstances, to whatever. Let's read on. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day you eat from it, you will surely die. Did they die right then and there? No, they didn't die right then and there. But what they did have was the power to destroy their lives with their words. They never had before. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. We've been talking this about, you know, man's ways equals the death spiral, God's ways equals the life lift. Let's read again Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The challenge tonight, you know, is that every one of us in this room here, we have a way of going about life. And you have a way of using words. We don't know how you learned it. We don't know where you got it from. But you've got a way that you have used words to build a life that you have right now. And the older you get, the more set you become in those ways. Unless you decide not. I mean, I got to watch what I say here because I'm 66 years old. Bill and Mary Ellen, you guys are in your, what, 90s? 80s? 90s. Yeah. But, I mean, these guys are sweethearted, and but I don't know if you've noticed it or not. I've noticed it in myself. I've noticed it with other people. The older we get, I don't know if I should even say this. I don't know. Maybe, a good way to say it is the more direct we become with our words. we don't have much time to waste. But even then it becomes almost more unkind or more grumpy or more because, I've already built my life. I don't have nothing to lose. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. You can decide today, I am going to change. I am going to let God work in me, and I'm going to let him work in me the way to use words to build the life that God's want me. So I can change. I can be transformed. I can be transformed from glory to glory. I can change. But I tell you right now, we're going to read in James, it's the hardest thing you'll ever have to change, and you need God's grace to do it. And it won't happen overnight, but you make the commitment, little by little, he will change the way you use your tongue. Let's read together Deuteronomy 30:15. I set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. Choose life, therefore, that you may live. I'm bringing these verses out because we're going to, I don't know if you notice or not, we go over a lot of Proverbs in this class, don't we? I call it a class because I like to teach. But we go over a lot of Proverbs, and you're going to see life and death, life and prosperity, death and adversity. The Proverbs say life and prosperity comes from the way you use your words. Death and adversity comes from the way you use your words. So guess what? It's how you use your words. I coined that phrase life lift. We talked about the thermal soaring last week. Remember that? Like Bill with his sailplane, he gets the thermal column and it keeps going up and up and up. We talked about if you learn how to use your words rightly in a way that's positive and helps other people be lifted in their life, your life itself will be lifted higher and higher and higher, as opposed to the death spiral or crash and burn. We want the life lift, right? And look at Proverbs. If anybody read their proverb for today, Proverbs 15, right? Today's the 15th. Maybe you saw this one. The way of life leads upward for the wise. Don't you love it? There's the life lift. The way of life leads upwards. Learning how to use your mouth, learning how to use your words will lift you up and up and up into prosperity and life in your relationships, in your dreams and your desires. All the things that are important to you will lift you up. If you don't master words, you'll get into the death spiral and you'll be, I'm trying to pull up, but I don't know how. Been in the ministry now 40 some years. I've seen a lot of crash and burns, and it always goes back to the mouth and how people talk to each other and not being willing to change. Let's read on. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I'll tell you right now, you are eating the fruit of your tongue. Right? You are. Your life right now is the result of the words that you have spoken. The thing is, do you love your life? Do you love your life? Amen, Dale. Amen. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words. In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. I'm talking about God wants us to use our words, our mouth, our lips, our tongue in such a way that it builds life, it builds prosperity, it builds goodness, and in it there is no death. No drama. Here's Proverbs 10, talking about the way of righteousness and words. The prospect of the righteous is joy. Isn't that something? The prospect of the righteous is joy. Anybody here want some joy? Yeah, absolutely. That's your prospect. If you decide to live God's way, the right way, start using words God's way, the right way, your prospect is joy. You could be a happy person. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the righteous. The way of the Lord. What are we talking about here? The way of the Lord. The way of the Lord. The way he uses words is a refuge for the righteous. The righteous will never be uprooted. From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom. The lips of the righteous know what finds favor. You can hardly even read a chapter of the Proverbs and not find it talking about the result of the words that we use and how it affects the quality of our life. Another proverb from today's proverb, together and aloud: the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. So now we're starting to dig into a little bit of the clues of how this goes along here. One of the things you're going to want to do as you decide to, I want to use words God's way. One of the things you're going to need to do is say, Holy Spirit, put a muzzle over my mouth and help me think before I talk. Right? Help me think before I talk. I used to be rash. You know, when I say those things, nobody laughs. They should laugh, right? Let me just say, you know, that... I got saved when I was 19. I knew everything the minute I got saved. I knew everything about everything, and throughout my life, I have been humbled and then humbled some more and humbled some more and humbled some more, and chastised and humbled and chastised and humbled, and over again, you know, God has come back to me, essentially saying, okay, Rick, that tongue of yours, we've got to get under control. And, you know, and I'm not standing up here and saying, oh, yeah, and one day I woke up and it was all perfect. That's not how it works. How it works is, Lord, you're right. I got to change the way I use my tongue. Help me. And then incrementally, by working the program, working the plan, little by little, start using words God's way and stop using them your old way, however you learned that, and your life, like a big cruise ship, starts turning around. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. This was a big one for me, because I used to be quick on the draw. Anybody else here quick on the draw? All right. Here's a biggie. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse... Anybody here want to love your life? Yeah, two or three of you do. Okay, here we go. Here's how you do it. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious. That means stop the drama. Stop the no. Stop the conflict. Stop being a bully. Be harmonious. Let's read on. Sympathetic. What's that mean? Think about the other person. Put yourself in their shoes. Brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit. We saw that 2 weeks ago. We're talking about putting the other person's that you're talking about, putting their interests before your own, like Jesus did on the cross. Let's read on. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days. Anybody here want to desire life, love, and good days? Come on. Now I got some people. Yes, I can sign up for that. I want life, good days. Yeah, I want that. And I want love. What do you got to do? Let's read it. Must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. What is guile? Anybody know what guile is? Huh? Filth? Is that what you said? Not really. The word guile actually has to do with like screaming. Like, you stupid idiot, what did you do? That kind of a thing. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. All right. Here's James 3. This was a ladies' brunch. Nancy, was this your last brunch, James 3? Was it two brunches ago? In any case, she's thinking about it. Here we go. Together and aloud, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the lust of the flesh. Remember that? And the body. And that the body has things it wants, right? And according to this verse, again, what is going to direct where the body goes and what the body does? That's not what it says. It doesn't say the heart. What's it say? The tongue. The tongue. We'll get to the heart in a minute. But it says the tongue. The tongue is what directs your body. Just the same way that the bit in the horse's mouth, or if you're more of a sailor, the keel on a ship. Very small thing compared to the big thing that results. Together and aloud. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Just stop there a moment. Remember when I started out this, I'm saying, like the pennies in your pocket, you discard the words of your mouth as though they're inconsequential or insignificant. A tiny spark will set afire an entire forest. Never underestimate the power of your words. Let's read on. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Just stop there a moment. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire. Remember what I said before? Your life right now? What did I say? It is the cumulative effect of what? The words you have spoken in your life so far. Whatever your life is consists of, on a good sense or a bad sense, it consists of a fire, whether it's a nice fire in a stove or if it's a raging forest fire in Paradise, California. But, whatever is in your life, your tongue has done that. Let's read on. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. I told you before, no human being, you're not sitting there saying, okay, now I'm gonna do this. No. This is a supernatural thing that you need God's grace to do. It requires repentance, a change of mind and heart, a Holy Spirit to come in and to begin to work together with you to accomplish this tremendous, most important of all tasks. But God has given us the grace and the ability to do it. That is one of the most wonderful aspects of the gospel. One of the most wonderful promises of the New Testament. You don't have to have your tongue setting your life on fire for bad. It can set your life on fire for good. So yes, there's a heart-to-mouth connection. Let's read together what Jesus said about the mouth and the heart. Together, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Okay? Matthew 15:18. Again, this is Jesus talking. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. So technically, our brother here was right when he said the heart sets on fire your life. But James said that the tongue sets it on fire. Right? And the tongue, if sets the life on fire for bad, is because inside the heart there's bad fire. If you're together, Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Okay. You'll notice in your just going deeper discussion questions, one of the questions on there is, what are you doing to keep your heart full of such good stuff that what comes out of your mouth is good stuff and directing your life in a good way? You know, I talk a lot about reading the Proverbs, right? Meditating on Scripture. We'll talk about that at the end here. You know, I like the iceberg effect. Okay, you can read that. You see that? There's a visual for you, right? Words of your mouth. Can you see that down? Oops. You see that down there? The heart, the desires of your heart. Together, Proverbs 25, a plan in the heart of a man is like a deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. I'll be getting to this further, you know, and a lot of the things that I say over and over again because they are the most basic things, the most powerful things, the most helpful things. But the way you draw out what's in your heart that's good is by journaling, by writing this stuff down. You use words to write it down. And as soon as I say that, I can just see the eyes glazing over. And the lack of words creates the lack of vision, creates the lack of a preferred future. Words can be spoken and they can be written. Amen. God gave us the written word, right? But I can tell you right now that if you think you know everything that's in your heart, you're mistaken. God's got a wonderful plan, a perfect will. He's got things. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12 says, the things God has planned for you has not even entered into the heart of man yet. But you spend time alone with God, seeking Him. I get out my journal, I write down, and, you know, this week, this month, 5 years from now, by the time I reach retirement age, you know, writing stuff down. I'll tell you, when I first discovered this, and this happened to me back when I was probably in my early 30s, when I started getting this understanding, and I started writing stuff down, by writing words down of my preferred future, I began to talk that way, and I began to plan that way, and by my words coming out of my mouth helped other people come alongside and want to help me do what I wanted to do because that was my vision and goal, and next thing you know, it's coming to pass. It's not about me, is it? It's about how this stuff works. If you can just understand how it works. God's word works. And it works for you because you're made in God's likeness. Oh, I didn't bring my Bible. I should have my Bible here. I'd have my big fat Bible. And I'd say, when God had a vision for mankind, what did He do? He wrote it down. This is God's vision for mankind. And guess what? It's coming to pass. And the last book in the Bible, Revelation, is still coming to pass. But it's going to come to pass. Because why? Because God wrote it down. That's how stuff happens. You write it down. Remember my very first slide? God's way with words. And we are supposed to use words the same way that God uses words. Because we're made in God's what? Image. Amen. All right. You're getting it. Our words... You see, when I do my financial series, you see a chart like this often enough. The compounding interest, it's often quoted. We don't know if Einstein really said it, but Einstein is given the credit for having said that compounded interest is the eighth wonder of the world. Compounding interest is when you, is when you have a set amount of money, say you're going to get 10% for it. Yeah, try to get that. All right. So you just leave it in there. It stays in there, and the next year you get 10% on, if you had $1,000, now you have $1,100. Now you get interest on $1,100, right? And it just keeps building. You leave it in there, and next thing you know, you got this snowball happening because it's compounding. It starts out slow, but man, after 10, 15, 20, 30 years, all of a sudden, whoosh, you got this big old snowball rolling because you let it ride. Your words, Proverbs says, are more valuable than silver and gold. Your words and how you've used them have compounded their interest year over year. And that's why I say that the life that you have today is the result of the words you have written and the words you have spoken. Compounded. So what's the key? Start using words that are going to build what you want, instead of using words that destroy what you want. Right? Yeah. Rick, what are you talking? I mean, there are so many different examples, but the one that just comes to my mind right now is, you know, a good marriage is probably it's been proven is one of the most wonderful things that a human being can experience, not only physically, but financially, in every way, emotionally. And yet, you know, I've sat through hundreds of hours of counseling, and the wife says, well, he calls me an effing bitch all the time. Well, guess what, man? You just destroyed what you had hoped to build, and you compounded it. That's what I mean by using words in a very negative way. Now, think about saying to your wife, honey, I am so glad I married you. You're the best thing that ever happened in my life. Now, you throw those words out there, and you compound that with interest, right? And 30, 40, 50, how many years has it been, Bill and Mary Ellen? 63 years? 63 years later, and you got a big snowball going, right? Amen. With interest, compounded, good words compounded, produce a wonderful life. Bad words compounded produce misery and death. And no woman is going to stay in a marriage where their husband's calling them that. No husband's going to stay in a marriage where the wife is not supporting him and helping him. Forget it. All right, there we go. Supporting him. You know what I mean, right? How we use our words to build or destroy our life. Let's read it again, Proverbs 15. Hey, today's the 15th. Here we go. But a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. What are we talking about? We're talking about how we're talking to people, right? If you want strife and drama in your marriage, right? Use harsh words. That second verse there, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. Do you realize that one of the most important things that you can do with your life is to work on how you communicate what it is you're trying to say to the people in your life? Are you hearing me? You have to work at it. I've worked at it. And now I'm perfect, right? No, the thing is, you work at it, and you don't get perfect. You just get better. And by getting better, your life gets better. In other words, you know, when you're trying to talk to someone, it doesn't matter if it's somebody at work, or if it's an employee, or if it's your spouse, or it doesn't, your children, it doesn't matter who it is. If you're wise, you're going to figure out how to help them understand what you're trying to say. Instead of just saying, well, I said you got it wrong. Don't ask me why. Just do it. I got, you know, my kids laugh at me because, all of our kids now, our youngest is 3, but they've all been 3 at one time. And they go through that why stage, right? Why Pam Pop? Right? So I take 5 minutes to explain them, to them why. And they're standing at me like... But I keep talking until they walk away or they say, oh, okay. Why? Because I believe that's what the proverb says. The wise will try to understand and get at their level, whoever, whatever, whether it's a three-year-old or it's whatever you're, you know, whatever it is, you try to get on their level, try to understand, try to be sympathetic, try to understand, get in their mind so that they can understand what knowledge it is that you're trying to pass on. And people will love you for it. As opposed to say, well, if you don't know, I can't explain it. If you're that stupid, then, you shouldn't even be alive. I mean, there's just attitudes that will either make your life wonderful or destroy it. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. Right? I mean, who wants to crush somebody's spirit? But you realize that when you yell at somebody or be mean somebody, or go back to last week's saying no, when you say no, you're saying I'm your superior and you have to listen to me. And I've got the authority to say no to you. That's not going to go over real well. You might think you get away with it. It will come back to bite you. Husbands and wives, you treat each other with respect and honor. You think you got the right to say no? You don't. You have the right and the obligation to be wise and make knowledge acceptable. You understand the difference? Take the time to have a conversation. Ask questions. Get to the bottom of what it is we're trying to accomplish here. What are our goals? Oh, okay, I got to keep moving on here. And then you go to the other extreme. There's two extremes, isn't there, when it comes to words. The first one, Proverbs 17:28, together and aloud. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. The key words there are considered, as though we really care what people think. Because the person who says, well, I can't see anything right, so I'm not going to say anything at all. I tried that once on Nancy, maybe 30 years ago. Well, I can't see anything right anyway, so I'm not going to talk anymore. How do you think that went over? No, man. No words, no heart. No words, no return. No words, no reward. You got to learn how to talk right. And then, of course, there's the other extreme, isn't there? Proverbs 10:19, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Every time I read this verse, I think of back in the 1985, we had a congregational meeting, and the one guy stood up, and he was talking. Another guy stood up and said, you've got diarrhea of the mouth. And the guy said, oh, yeah? And he said, yeah, let's go out in the parking lot. And they got up and walked down, and like, okay, we're going to go on with our congregational meeting here. You guys have fun out in the parking lot. That was the days of the Wild West. There's a time to know when to zip it. There's a time to know when to talk right. We saw before that the righteous ponders how to answer. You think. Right? You think. You take your time and you think and you pray and you journal and you write down. There's nothing wrong with saying, honey, I got to have some time to think. Let me just get away with that. How about tomorrow night after dinner, we'll sit down and we'll talk about this more. But I got to pray and think. Nothing wrong with that. Anybody would love that kind of a response, as opposed to, that's stupid, I don't want to hear about it anymore, forget he ever said it. I don't want to hear about that. That's not going to work. That's the death spiral. Right? So, yeah, just being silent does not work. You got to learn how to talk, because the quality of your life is the result of your words. What you have today is the compounded result of how you have used words in the past. I think we read these verses already, didn't we? Yeah, we did. Maybe we should read them again. You ready? The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words. In the way of righteousness is life, and in his pathway there is no death. So I've said before, there's two kinds of words that God has given us that he uses himself, spoken and written in the Bible. Spoken word would be called rhema. Those are the personal words that you find in the Bible. There's two words for word in the Bible. Rhema is a spoken word. And those are very personal words that Jesus or God spoke to someone. It has to do with their situation and their particular time that they should go and do. Right? Peter, come out and walk on. You know, come and meet me, Peter. That was a rhema. And Jesus says, rhema, come out of the boat and walk to me. Right? If you get out of a boat and try to walk, guess what's going to happen? Yeah, because you didn't get the rhema, right? The other word for word in the Bible is logos. Logos is the word of God that is always eternally true in every situation. Okay? See the difference between logos and rhema? And so, there's written words and there's spoken words. Written words paint a picture of your preferred future. And again, this is where I'm talking about. It's so important. I shared a few weeks ago Habakkuk 2:2. It's one of my primary verses. Record the vision that the one who reads it may run. Record the vision that the one who reads it may run. Without a vision, the people languish. Without a vision, the people perish. How do you get a vision? You write it down. And what are you going to write? The right answer is words. And you're going to write words because you're created in God's image, and he's a word God. And then there's spoken words. The spoken words, obviously, are the words that we speak, and this is what motivates, the spoken words is what motivates or prevents yourself and others from helping you achieve your preferred future. One of the reasons I believe, just like I said before in our other verse, in our other messages on overcoming lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, the reason that we find ourselves falling into those traps is because we have not focused ourselves with spiritual vision on a written vision of our preferred future. We have not written it down. And as a result, we find ourselves going here and there and down this rabbit hole, reacting to everybody's other situation, just, you know, and our life filled with drama, and we're just spinning our wheels and going nowhere because we have not recorded the vision of what we want God to do in our life. Make God's way with words your way with words. Determine today to use words purposefully. Remember that Charlie had up there on compounding interest? And maybe I can go back to it there. Oh, there it was. See right there? Pocket change. Those are the words. I don't know if it's true or not. I never did a test, but the one guy wrote the, I think it's a language. He says that men have got, was it 15,000 words and women have 30,000 words? I don't know. But anyway, you've got a certain amount of words that you're comfortable using every day. After that, you're like, I don't have any more words left. I'm done. Right? You see men run out before women. Right? That's a stereotype. Usually true. No? You're the exception that proves the rule. 30,000. But you see up there, it says pocket change, you know, and the point of this particular thing was, if you just took your pocket change out and put it, and you know, and you put it into a jar and you took it in and invested it, most of us go through, throw away or go through about $1,000 per year in pocket change. If you just took and invested that, you know, in 20 years, you'd have $7,000 from compounded interest. But what I'm saying is that the way that most people do pocket change is just throw it away or throw it, you know, whatever. We use our words that way. We think they're insignificant because we got so many of them. I mean, 30,000, that's a lot of words, right? Even 20,000 is a lot of words. And because we have so many, we don't think they're significant. They are the essence of your life. And how you use them will determine your future. So, How do you do it? First, you have to repent. Repent means you have to change your mind. I mean, hopefully from me being up here talking and the Holy Spirit's anointing, hopefully I've changed your mind by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you think differently now about your words than you did before you came in here. But whether you're swayed emotionally or not, at some point there comes a quality decision where you actually change your mind about how you think about things. That's going to make a difference in how you act and what you do from this day forward, from this moment forward. Secondly, we saw the picture of the iceberg. You've got to fill your heart, the big part of the iceberg, you've got to fill it with God's word, God's truth, and you got to meditate on it so that your heart is filled with God's word, God's truth. Third, practice writing down in words what you want to have happen today, this week, this month, this year, 5 years, by retirement age. New Year's coming up. That's a great time, you know. Every year for the last 30 years, December 31st, January 1st, somewhere in there, you're going to find me sitting down and writing down my year goals, my 5-year goals, and my. Of course, I am retired now, but I'm retired now because I did this 35 years ago. You say, well, Rick, you're still preaching? Because I want to. I don't have to. Because God wants me to. But I don't have to. I'm not doing it for the money. There comes a point where you believe, and you change your mind about how you use your words, that I actually can create a preferred future. And I'm going to write it down. Because God wrote down His will and His desire. And I'm created in God's image. And then each day, you start your day asking the Holy Spirit to help you use your words. You only got 30,000 of them, right, if you're a lady. Guys, we're on a handicap. We only got 20,000 of them. You better use them wisely, right? Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me use my words today to build the future that you want me to have. I want to prove your good, acceptable, and perfect will. Today, I'm starting building my life using your words to build your will into my life. And that's it. I wonder if there's anybody tonight who is at that place where they need to repent. You can come on up, Seth, Music Ministry. When Jesus came into the ministry, Mark tells us that he started his ministry by preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means change your mind. Think differently. Because if you think differently about something, your heart desire is going to change, and your heart desire then is going to motivate you to do the right things. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, there's someone here tonight who wants to repent, wants to look up at me and say, Rick, I'm changing my thinking tonight. Tonight, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. Tonight, I'm going to live my life the way of the Lord. If that's the desire of your heart tonight, look up at me, let our eyes meet. I want to agree together with you. Yes? Look at me. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, I see you. Anybody else making that decision tonight? Okay, I see you. Would you please all pray this prayer with me together and out loud? Lord Jesus, you are the way, and you are the word. And I believe in you. And I fully give my life to you. Holy Spirit, come. Help me use words the way you use words. I want to create your perfect will in my life. The way you've created your perfect will for the salvation of mankind. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I can accept who I am, made in your image and your likeness, with the power to create by the way I use words. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Awesome.